Hillbilly Horror Stories presents Classic Listener Stories.
Hey guys, and welcome to the May 2019 Listener Stories bonus episode.
Look at you putting the year in there like nobody knows.
Well, I know, but when people go back and listen to this, now that we've had one for 2018, now we've got one for 2019, so there's got to be some kind of separation. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're just all, you'll have four different ones that say it's May listener episode.
Yeah.
So.
I feel you.
So shove it.
Up your nose. With a rubber hose.
Stupid.
Well, ain't that what Travolta used to say? Up your hose. Up your nose with a rubber hose.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, back in the day on Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
Weren't they, though?
All right. So today, we've got two listeners that call in and tell us their story. So we got Christy from up in Canada and Jeff from up in Illinois. Both fun stories. Mm-hmm. Both completely opposite ends of the spectrum. Jeff talks about a black dog, not the Zeppelin song. I was disappointed. I thought that's what he was going to talk about, but it wasn't. It was a different black dog. And he could have at least started his story with "Hey Hey Mama," but no, he missed the opportunity. But it's a good story, and we're gonna play that one here at the end. But we got that one, and Christy had some sleep paralysis stories mm-hmm. to tell us. So always like hearing those. Hers is different than what the average one is, though.
Oh yeah, very interesting.
And then we're gonna read some stories. We've got three stories to read. Mm-hmm. And one of them is longer than the other two, couple of shorter ones, but one's longer one. So, Tracy, I'm going to let you start off with the first listener story.
All right. This is from Nicole, and she is from Melbourne, Australia.
That's more like Transylvania.
I know. Oh, it went to a bite one.
Like, it's more like Austrian than Australian.
Yeah, that's true. You never know what's going to roll out. All right. It says, "Hey, Jerry and Tracy. I'm a longtime listener and subscriber from Melbourne, Australia. Love the show and gobble up each episode as soon as it comes out. Thank you, ma'am. I recently had a personal paranormal experience and thought I would share it. And I am sure it won't blow your minds. I've heard plenty of other better stories, mainly from you guys, but it's worth a look."
That's what I say. Why don't we just stop right there then? What's the point if she's heard better?
You're silly. All right, honey. I've had quite a lot of loss in my life over the last 5 to 10 years with the passing of both sets of grandparents, several friends, and my mother. But up until the time of my experience, I have never had any contact with these loved ones since their passing. Not a sign, a smell, or even a feeling, even though our family members have. So it was my birthday a couple of weeks ago. It fell on a weekday, and as usual, I woke up at some crazy o'clock in the morning and headed straight downstairs to make coffee. On my way back upstairs to the shower, I noticed that a framed photo of my maternal grandparents, which I kept on my bedside table, had turned 180 degrees and was now facing the wall. The thing that made me stop was that it wasn't skewed in any way to indicate that it had been knocked over during the night, or even a strong draft had moved it slightly. It was exactly in the same position, just facing the other way. I live alone and can assure you that the frame was in the right position when I turned the light out the night before, as no one was in the house overnight, and I'm pretty anal about that stuff. I figured that it was my birthday and my grandparents were letting me know that they remembered. As crazy as that seemed at the time, I didn't have a lot of time to process what had happened as I had to get ready for work. Later that day, I contacted my uncle, who is a psychic medium. He developed his skills after some pretty traumatic experiences serving for the Australian Army in the Vietnam War. Thank you for your service, sir. He had learned how to use them correctly, but doesn't earn money from using it. Just helps to pass on messages he receives, etc. Anyway, I thought it might be a good idea to mention to him that I had an experience that morning. Maybe he could shed some light on it. I didn't let him know any details at first, just that something weird had happened that morning and I thought he might know more about it. His response was that there were 5 visitors in my house overnight. When questioned further, he said that both of my sets of grandparents and my mom had decided to have a party to celebrate my birthday. Apparently, there were candles, cake, music, and dancing. They had a great time, but were upset that I didn't wake up to join them. So they left me a little message to let me know that they were there. The frame was the message. So there you go. Not the world's best ghost story, but interesting, I thought, due to my uncle's message. Not sure if I can picture spirits having parties and dancing, etc. Take what you will from that. Sorry, honey. But thought you might be interested. Nothing has happened since, and I don't feel weird or at home or scared when I'm alone. Kind of more comforted than anything. Maybe they will still visit occasionally. Thanks again for the show, guys. Much appreciated, Nicole. That is a cool dang story.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
I love that story.
So she might not have thought it was much, but...
Oh, I think it's amazing.
I think when you combine the what happened, the fact that she lives there by herself, so there's no way anything could have happened other than something like that, because there's nobody cool? moved it. And then when you combine that with the story that her uncle kind of knew what was going on without her really giving him any information, it's really cool.
I'm kind of jealous. I think it's so neat that that's happened. You know, it's, I guess, kind of not the same thing, but I had bought my daughter-in-law, and I can't remember what they're called, but it's the wooden figures of the parents or a baby and things like that. And I had got the one with the husband and the wife holding the baby because they had just had a baby. And it's funny, but not funny, but Josh took it. Was taking it out to the car, loading up the gifts, and he had the box upside down, and before they even got it home, it fell out of the box and broke the head off.
Yeah, in the driveway.
In the driveway. And I was like, what the crap? But it broke in such a way that he could get it back together, and you really couldn't even tell mm-hmm. at all. So he did a great job of that. But he sent me a message and said, thanks, Mom, for getting me this creepy-ass haunted doll
figurine.
I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, he has it sitting right in front of my mom's picture, which she has passed away. And he said every morning he wakes up, that figurine is turned facing her. Like, it's always facing away from her. But he said every morning he gets up, and he thought Sierra was doing it. And she's like, no, I'm not doing that. So he took a picture of it one morning and sent it to me. See, he said, see, look what I'm telling you. This thing is always turned around. He keeps turning it back around, and it's always facing her picture every time, which I thought was pretty funny. But
this is one of those figurines. You've probably seen it. They're about 2 feet tall, foot and a half tall, and it's like roughly carved.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like really smooth and polished up. It's like you can tell what it is, but it's meant to be like it was whittled or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. They're very sweet, and I love those things. I mean, they're very sweet. I just thought it was funny because he now thinks that this thing's, Mom's turning this thing around so she can look at it the whole time, and maybe she is. I don't know, but I think your story is wonderful, and I think it's amazing that they did that. They came to celebrate your birthday. That's really touching, I think.
Yeah, I like that, too.
I do, too. That makes me happy inside, so.
Well, let's go ahead and let's listen to Christy's story.
Okay.
And we'll split the phone calls up a little bit.
Okay.
And mix it up. So, this is Christy from up in Canada. And, you know, and I said she was the second Canadian caller. With a listener story. That's true, but it's not true as far as just the actual listeners to the stories or listeners to the show that call in. She is the second. But we also had Karen Wickham from STAT mm-hmm. come on and tell her story. She's from Canada too, but
as well,
I didn't count her, even though she is a listener to the show, but I counted her in the podcaster category rather than listener story. So if Karen's listening, we love you, Karen. We didn't forget about you.
Absolutely.
All right, so this is Christy's story, which is, like I said, it's pretty cool. So it's actually two or three little mini stories thrown together. Hey guys, we have our second Canadian story ever. We've been doing this thing for about a year and a half now. Actually, I think May is going to be 2 years, and we've done a bunch of listener stories, and this young lady is only our second one from Canada. So Christy from Canada, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Well, the excitement level is just... Christy, you got some stories. You wrote us and said that if we ever did another sleep paralysis show, you had some stories, and I thought this would be a good opportunity to bring you on and tell us some of the things that's happened with you involving sleep paralysis. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to you and let you tell us some of the things that you've experienced.
Okay, thanks, Jerry. It originally started when I was about 11. I remember I came home from school one day and I was really tired. So I laid on the couch and the stairs were like directly behind me. So I remember I was really tired and I closed my eyes, and it was like instantly, as soon as I closed my eyes, I could feel like numbness starting from like the top of my head. And it was slow but quick at the same time. It just radiated down my body. And as soon as it would touch my feet, it was like I couldn't move and I couldn't breathe. Like I would go completely paralyzed. Like I, as soon as my feet, that was it. I couldn't even breathe. I remember when it first happened, I heard there was nobody home. It was just me. I just got home. And I remember I heard footsteps coming down my steps. And I remember trying to fight to wake up and I couldn't. And I don't remember exactly how I woke up from that one, because that was, you know, a long time ago. I remember the second one, because I've had a lot of these. Like, these happened very frequently just before I had my first daughter. I had them almost nightly. But the most memorable ones, this one, I remember I was, I had just gotten into a fight with my ex-boyfriend, well, my boyfriend at the time, and I decided to sleep in a different room out of spite. And I laid down, I closed my eyes, and I was like starting to fall asleep. And I just remember the rush reach over my body. And again, couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. And it was like my eyes were open and the room was black, although it wasn't pitch black when I went in there. And I remember it felt like somebody was in the room with me, and I could hear breathing really close to the side of my face. It was so close. It was almost like if it was any closer, I could feel the breath. It was one of the scariest things. I jumped back out and I ran out back in the bedroom with him. And I was like, I'm sorry. And I told him what had happened. And for a while, no one really understood. Like, my family and my boyfriend at the time didn't really understand what I was going through. I explained to them what was happening, but I don't know. I don't know if they didn't believe me or if they just couldn't grasp it. Another time, I remember I was laying in bed, and the room, same thing, head to toe. I'd stop being able to move. I couldn't breathe. And I remember I was looking at the door in my bedroom, and the door opened. And as the door opened, I could hear bells, and it would be like one bell and then two bells. And then as more bells like was added to the sound, it just got louder and louder and louder. And I remember it was so loud at the end of it that it actually hurt my ears. And at the same time, my boyfriend was asleep next to me, and I was on my back, and I could hear these bells like just hurting my ears. And it was like I blinked and he was on top of my chest, like on his back. His head was back looking up at me in my eyes with his mouth open, just silent. And same time, I blink again and he's back over on his side. The bells have stopped and I can breathe. Every time I'd come out of this, I'd be gasping for air. I couldn't breathe. The time that my boyfriend finally realized how bad it was, another time we had fallen asleep, and I had fallen asleep before him. And I remember same thing, the rush from head to toe. And then I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move, except this time, normally when I'd have my sleep paralysis, it's I'm in my room. I know where I'm to. Like, all my stuff is in my room, so my eyes are open. But I remember this time my eyes were closed, because as soon as I stopped breathing, I imagined that I was stood in front of like a, it was a really white building. I was thinking it was like a church, but I'm not sure. And I remember these big heavy doors opened up and this bright light was shining through the doors, and the light was blinding. And I started to walk towards it, and I couldn't breathe again. But I remember I was kind of taken out of it. I remember the doors slamming shut, and then I woke up, and my boyfriend was shaking me because he said, oh, my God, you stopped breathing. Like, you weren't breathing. So I would actually stop breathing for real. That's how he realized what I was saying was the truth, because he was panicked. He couldn't believe it. He was, I don't even know, he was really worried. And at that time, I remember I was having a lot of insomnia because I was terrified to go to sleep. But what I've noticed over the years is if you don't get enough sleep, or you wait too long and you're exhausted when you go to sleep, this is when it would usually happen for me. And the last time that I had it happen to me, it was just after I had my daughter. So this was about almost 8 years ago. She was asleep in the bed with me because I co-sleep. She was asleep in the bed next to me, and I was on the outside. And I remember, like, I was kind of hanging off the side of the bed. My arm was hanging off. I was laid kind of on my stomach, and my head was turned, like, facing out towards the bedroom. And she was behind me, in between me and the wall. And I remember I had that feeling rush over my body. And as I was laying there and I couldn't breathe and I couldn't move, any other time that I had this happen to me, no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't move and I couldn't breathe. And this time I remember seeing this short, I'm not even sure how to explain it. Like, I still can't really wrap my head. It was like a person, but they were only like 3 feet tall. I remember they were like at head level with me when I was late, had my head on the bed, and they were like eye level with me. And I just remember this short thing, like, walked in my bedroom and turned. And when they seen me, it started running towards me. And that was the first time I was ever able to snap out of it. And I actually put my hand up, and I came to with my hand up in the air, like I was blocking something from me and my daughter. And that was the last time I had it happen.
You know, I've heard a lot of those sleep paralysis stories, but that's the first time I've ever heard one where Tracy ended up in it.
Oh, I love Tracy.
So yeah,
very intense.
Oddly enough, though, you know, we hear a lot of these stories where there are the old hag and a bunch of shadow people and stuff like that involved. Yours is the first one I've actually heard to where at one point you pictured, like, your boyfriend, like, on your chest. Mm-hmm. So that's very unique in that situation.
Yeah. It was terrifying. I remember it was almost like out of the, I think it's the Grudge movie, when the girl's face is really long and her mouth is open and she's like, her eyes are wide open. It was like that, except on my chest, and he was like, his head was back. It was almost like demonic. It was so freaky.
Oh, and you don't think these are just bad dreams? You're actually awake when these things are happening?
I feel, because I've researched a lot on it, because when it was first happening, honestly, I didn't know what was going on with me. I didn't know what sleep paralysis was. And I honestly, like, I was leaning more towards, like, demons and all these, like, horrible, terrible things, because I didn't know what sleep paralysis was. I had no idea. It started when I was so young, and it was just something that I kind of came accustomed to. The only real terrible thing that would really come out of it was the fact that I would completely stop breathing. And that's what scared me over everything else, was that I would stop breathing, and every time I'd wake up gasping for air. So I knew that I was actually, like, not breathing in my sleep, not just imagining I wasn't.
Interesting. Well, Christy, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing it. I know that for some people that's a very traumatic thing to obviously happen, but it's even just as traumatic to share. So we appreciate anytime somebody can open up to our audience.
Yes, no problem. I don't mind at all.
Okay. Well, thank you for being our second Canadian listener story.
Well, I'm very proud of that, actually.
Good. And I didn't even make fun of you, because I know the last young lady, all I could talk about was Canadian bacon and stuff. So I completely left that out this time. I'm growing as in maturity.
Oh, it's always good to be mature.
That's right. Well, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, no problem. Bye, guys.
Bye. So that was Christy's story. There were definitely some differences between the normal sleep paralysis story.
That's like creepy. Like, seriously.
And you made a visit.
Oh, whatever.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Okay, I'm more than 3 foot. Give me a break.
See, that's what happens when you're not in a room when we do interviews. Just so you know.
Yeah, I hear you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so We were on a show with Dina Marie from Twisted Philly, and she did a Pinhurst episode, and we got to talk a little bit about that. And we've got a listener, Liz, who worked up there in her haunted house for a while, and she wanted to share some of the experiences that she had up there. Says, hi, guys. I wanted to share some of my fun experiences I encountered at Pinhurst when I worked there. To this day, I still think about them a lot, and Pinhurst still feels like a second home to me. A place with such magnitude and impact sometimes hangs on, and it has definitely stuck with me. I learned about Pinhurst when one of the paranormal shows did an episode about it. I immediately was entranced. There's something about Pinhurst that just has a pull on so many people for so many different reasons. Once you've been somehow associated with it, it doesn't seem to let go. I just had to go there, and seeing as it was only 50 miles away from where I lived, there was no excuse. I went to their haunted house attractions in 2010 and 11, and I was in awe. The place is mesmerizing. You can feel the weight of the trauma that occurred there. This is also beauty in the way nature is reclaiming the buildings and restoring some peace in those unused buildings. On my second trip to Pinhurst in the Mayflower attraction, a self-guided flashlight walkthrough, some portions of many claim is the most haunted building in Pinhurst. I felt a few cold spots and chills, so the following year, I felt compelled to go look into working there as a haunt actor. Not only do I love acting and scaring people, LOL, but I would love to be able to spend more time at what would become my home away from home and possibly explore some more of what I may have experienced there myself. I worked at Pinhurst for two seasons, 2012 and 13. In my second season, when I started to make friends with some staff, I got to do a little more exploring around the campus prior to opening for the night. My first experience was in the Mayflower. One particular day, I got to head over to Pinhurst before opening and explore more of the Mayflower than accessible for ticket holders. A friend and I wandered down to the basement just to appreciate the building and the state it was currently in. We find beauty in ruins and enjoy urban exploration, so we weren't looking for anything or doing any investigation, just enjoying Pinhurst for what it is today. We were taking a few photos, and without power, even during the day, the basement is pretty dark, so we needed to use the flash on our phones. We were in one of the rooms in the basement and heard a female scream. It sounded like someone who was in pain. We got a little freaked out because I was the only female on the property at the time. We checked it out to be sure that there were no trespassers, but the place is pretty well secured and surveillance is fairly tight now that it's no longer a really abandoned, since they know how popular a destination it is for people to break into and explore. Plus, this was just a few hours before opening the attractions for the night, so security has a strong presence at that point. No one was in the building with us. We were a little unsettled, but both myself and my friend are believers in the paranormal, and we were more excited than anything. Shortly after, he took a photo on his phone using the flash. We both saw the flash go off and the light up the area. But his screen remained black as the photo was snapped. He went into his camera roll to see the picture, and the best way I can describe it is basically a diagonal cut across the screen where about a third of the photo was solid black and about two-thirds of the screen was a red color. Not exactly solid, but almost like a finger was over that part of the lens. Only it was perfectly straight line cutting diagonal across the screen. I wish we had that photo so I could share it, but when we went to look at it a second time to show our boss, it was no longer there. Whether he'd accidentally deleted it or something else happened, I guess we'll never find out. I also had a few odd things happening while working in the haunt. Once, while working in a tunnel system underground, myself and another actor were standing close to each other and occasionally chatting in some of the downtime when customers were coming through. We heard something that sounded like an aluminum can being thrown and hitting the floor. We grabbed our flashlights and shined them down this arm of the tunnel, which was roped off so guests could not access it. It's just a short hallway type thing that goes nowhere anymore. It used to lead outside, but that entrance has long since been permanently sealed. There was also a prop blocking most of that part of the tunnel, and there was no other way to access that section. As we shone our flashlights down there, we saw an aluminum can that was laying discarded on the floor. We can't explain why we heard the noise. Another time, I was working in the basement of the admin building in a room by myself, sometimes standing in a corner, sometimes laying in a coffin. That sounds like fun. Mm. The light in the room kept coming on. I was the only one in that room, and as I'm sure you're aware, when a haunt is active and guests are coming through, the lights should be off, LOL. It's not so scary when they're on. So all the lights were off, but only the one in the room I was in kept coming on sporadically. I mentioned it to my boss, who was as confused about why it was happening as I was, especially since there were a few rooms next to each other, all operating on one toggle. So a light in one of those rooms coming on was not possible without one of the staff reassigning which portions were tied together. So if somebody would have flipped a switch, a bunch of the rooms would have came on, not just one.
Yeah, yeah. And nobody has, who has time to toggle them, or whatever she said.
The final experience I had there was, again, working in the basement of the admin, but in a different room. There was a lag between groups coming through, so I was sitting in the corner of the room and kept feeling something like cobwebs touching my cheek. It was dark, so I couldn't see what it was that I felt. But I figured it was just some loose hairs or something touching my face. I kept brushing them away, tried to clip my hair back into place and just ignore it. Then I felt what seemed like three fingers brush across my cheek from under my eye to my jawline.
Oh, yeah, no. Mm-mm.
That definitely startled me a little, but I was also super excited to have experienced something unexplainable. I had so much fun working at Pennhurst, and I was saddened when I had to leave. If my husband hadn't joined the Army, I'd probably still be working there during the haunt season, which her husband is now stationed in Fort Campbell.
Oh, no kidding. Yep. Thank you for your service, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you for your service. That place will always have a special place in my heart, and I hope one day to get back there and do a paranormal investigation and maybe even a walking photo tour. Those events weren't really a thing when I lived there, and now we're at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, so it's not just a 50-minute drive anymore. Pennhurst is a wonderful and terrifying place, and I hope it stays preserved in its current state as much as possible so we can continue to remember, learn, and grow from things that have happened there and honor those who suffered. I've included way too many photos of Pennhurst because I couldn't decide which ones that to want to see or share. If you ever use this story anywhere, I added two of my favorites from the haunt acting days at the Hearst just for fun because I love sharing those.
Well, how nice.
Jerry and Tracy, thank you guys so much for all that you do. You work really hard and it shows. I cannot get enough of your podcast. I'm so happy something like this exists. I love the way that it's laid back and you two are just both wonderful hosts. I'm excited to see you guys at Bobby Mackey's in June.
Yay!
And look forward to each new episode you put out. The way you use your platform to help others and make people aware of things that we may not have considered previously is just wonderful. We are listeners. We as listeners are blessed to have you.
Aw, thank you, honey, so much. And thank you for sharing that wonderful story.
It was a wonderful story.
Gosh, she's brave. I think I would have peed on myself if that thing went across my face.
Nice.
I would have screamed like a girl. Like, seriously.
I'm sure you have. And I've heard you scream like a girl.
Oh, my gosh.
Or a banshee.
Oh. Wow. Well, we can't wait to meet you. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I got to talk to her a couple of days for a few minutes.
Oh, great. So, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Really, I'm cool. So excited. This is, we have so much to look forward to. I just can't wait to get it started.
Yeah, the Bobby Mackey's thing is going to be really special.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could do, I may end up doing two or three of those next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can only put 50 people in there. It's not like the other shows where you're sitting there eating dinner and stuff like that. I mean, we're going to be in the haunted attraction, just us and the paranormal team,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to be all do a tour together. So that's really cool. It's different than the other stuff. Mm-hmm. So
Looking forward to it.
So let's go ahead and read your other story, and then we'll close on Jeff's, because Jeff's is a longer story. His is about 20 minutes long. I will go ahead and end on that one. So you've got one more little story here.
Hey, everybody. So I have a new story from Martha, and I think this story is so awesome. She says, "Good morning, you beautiful souls. I felt compelled to tell you about my son, Nico. After hearing your part two of children's reincarnation stories, when my second son, Nico, was born, the first thing my mother said upon laying eyes on him was, "Bernard Futterman, nice to see you again." And she started weeping tears of joy. My father, Bernard Futterman, died when I was 7. My mom died 2 years later. Nico has no conscious memories of her. So we're going to fast forward to when Nico is 5. He's taking a shower and calls me into the bathroom and says, he's talking to me while he's showering. He says, "You know there's a heaven? That's where I was before here. And I could have stayed, but I like to keep on moving, you know? Just wanted you to know that." And then he just continued his shower after that declaration. He is now 10 and has no recollection of his father or this event. It touches me deeply that the soul that loved and raised me until I was 7 has came back to be with me again and to let me be his parent. And then in return, when I am old, he will finish the job that he started and will protect and care for me when I am old. God is abundant in all his blessings. Wow.
That is a cool story.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? That's so crazy how her mom just knew that. Oh my gosh. That makes me have chills.
And then you could just put that off on, well, she's just feeling emotional because of the
situation. Yeah.
But then the child turns around and makes that comment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just like so random out of the blue. You know what I'm saying? So, man, that must have been like so freaky, but also such a blessing for her to hear that. And I just think that's so amazing.
But, you know, since we've done that story on the past lives again, we've had a bunch of people write us with stories similar that they've experienced something. They think their child might be reincarnated of, I mean, we've seen it. Even Jackie Getz says she thinks thinks her son might have been her dog in their past life.
Oh, no way.
Swear to God.
Oh, my gosh. Why? Jackie, I love you. I wonder what she thinks that. Did she say?
So it's the same personality and
isn't
all that.
Isn't that crazy?
So.
Gosh, that just is. Oh.
Saint Ninja could come back if you were fertile.
Oh. Wait. I don't know if I like that statement. What does this mean? Oh, if I can have another kid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My fertile days are over.
Yeah, it's like, at this point, it's like Pet Cemetery. the land is sour.
Oh, Lord. That would be scary. That is a touching story, though. I really love that. I would love for somebody, I love for that to happen to us somehow, some way. And I don't know, like, I recall a lot of times that, but I know that's not the same thing, but like, I think like, okay, I've heard that before or I've seen it before.
That's more deja vu though.
Yeah. Like deja vu, but it's so weird. That just is so weird. It's like, half the time I can't remember nothing.
I know.
You all know this, but then sometimes it's like, I'm thinking to myself, like, dude, I heard that, like, I've heard that somewhere before, or, I don't know, it's just so weird.
It was probably, like, 2 days ago when I told you the first three times.
No, and it's not even something to do, like, with maybe even us. I can't explain it. It's really weird. But I do think that she's very lucky to have that experience. That's the sweetest thing.
But at the same time, and I'm not saying this as a negative, so please don't take it that way. Wouldn't it be kind of weird, though, to be able to look at your kid and at the same time think that that's your father? Because, I mean, most of the time when you're looking at your kid, that's it. It's just your kid.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're looking at your kid thinking also that's your father.
Mm-hmm. No, I see what you're saying.
That would be a unique feeling, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. It's still cool, though. It's still so cool. Yeah. So. I'd be like, okay, Dad, remember that time that you punished me for so-and-so? Well, guess what? It's coming back.
All right. So, we got one more listener story that was called in. This was Jeff. And Jeff, we got to meet Jeff up at, this will tell you right here. We got to meet Jeff in Nashville, and he had to sign a Ouija board. And Jeff was very impressed by that. So he had to sign a Ouija board, and then I asked him off air, because he's coming to Bobby Mackey's too.
I know. This is so great.
And he's...
he was such a nice guy.
I asked him if he was bringing the Ouija board to Bobby Mackey's, and he said yes.
He did? Yeah. He said yes?
He's bringing the Ouija board to Bobby Mackey's.
Did we sign something else for him, for his
wife?
Yeah,
I can't remember what it was, though, but he had a something, a picture or poster or something. But I can't remember, so...
Yeah, he was really nice. Really nice guy.
So,
anyways. Very cool.
This is Jeff. Hey guys, we got Jeff Danes. He's from Illinois on the phone, and he had sent a message a while back basically saying that he had a paranormal story that he really hasn't shared very often, but he wanted to share with you guys. So I'm going to let Jeff tell this story, but it involves the black dog, which apparently is something that I wasn't aware of. You know, I've heard about the hellhounds and stuff like that, but Jeff said this is something that happens that a lot of truckers happen to see. And he had an experience himself. So, Jeff, welcome to the show, first of all.
Hello. Welcome. Glad to be here. All right. Well, this is... hi, everybody. I'm Jeff. This is my story of a legend of what's called the Black Dog. The first time I've ever heard of the Black Dog was probably in the movie with Patrick Swayze and Meatloaf. And I actually just found out today Tim McGraw is actually in that movie, too. But that was a movie about a truck driver who lost his driver's license because he had seen a black dog run out in front of the road. And that's actually like a legend among truck drivers that, you know, it's like a fatigue thing. They just think they see this black dog, and then they'll blame that on the crash. Now, and then the second time I've ever heard of the black dog was when I was actually an over-the-road trucker for the big orange trucks y'all see out there, no name. And even in part of the training, there was like a training about the fatigue, and they brought up the black dog, about how truckers see the black dog. And I'm like, oh, I remember that Patrick Swayze movie. I'm like, cool, cool. You know, so never even have thought about it again until this one night. And let me give a little bit of background. I live in northern Illinois, north of I-80, kind of close to the Mississippi River. Anyone who knows the geography, Illinois has got a kind of a big, fat, pregnant belly that follows the Mississippi River all the way, you know, from the Quad Cities down to St. Louis. And that's kind of western central Illinois. And then there's kind of eastern central Illinois, which is like Champaign, Bloomington, all the college towns. Anyway, I live in northern Illinois, about an hour and a half north of Peoria, Illinois, about 30 miles away from where the Mississippi is. And so what I was into during that time was I would like buy and sell four-wheelers, quads for off-road riding, racing, you know, stuff like that. And a lot of my buddies knew that I could find people that had quads, so they would ask me to look for some for them, and I would. So one night I found one on the internet, and it was kind of an immediate thing. And I called, you know, talked to my one buddy at work. I'm like, hey, you want to go do this immediately, like right after work? We have to make this happen. I'm like, we're going to kind of be up all night. It's going to be a late drive. You know, where this quad was for sale was about 3.5 hours south of me, you know, south of Peoria, in a town that I'd never even heard of. I can't even remember the name of the town at the moment. But so my buddy said, yeah. So we got off of work. I got all the money organized. You know, we got my Dodge Durango hooked up with our trailer. You know, I got a hauler trailer, what I call like a toy hauler. You know, just a little camper, but hauls quads and all that stuff. But he'd never driven this before. So I was a little bit nervous about the trip in the first place. So anyway, we take off. We start heading south, you know, on state route, you know, just two-lane highway down to Peoria, Illinois. And I was just a little nervous, you know, to my buddy driving the rig with the trailer and all that. And it almost seemed like a couple of times I almost wanted to reach over and grab the wheel. And he's like, he's at me. He's like, dude, you know, chill out, man. I got this. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I've been in some car crashes before in my life. And just somehow, for some reason, I just feel a little nervous. And he's like, oh, relax, chill out. We're all good. So we get the hour and a half south towards Peoria. And around Peoria area, we pick up an interstate, which we had to take, you know, over towards Missouri, towards the Mississippi River. So now it's dark. Now it's about 9, 10 o'clock or so. We're driving down the interstate, and then we hear pop. We hear a loud pop. And then the trailer starts to go goofy. I'm like, oh, brake, brake. So we pull over. We've blown a tire on one of the wheels on the trailer. So we get out. We're inspecting. You know, we got our phones out. We have our flashlights out. And we're like, oh, something chewed up this tire. Like, bad. We're trying to look. But then all of a sudden, I look over my friend, and he is getting goofy. He's like, we need to get out of here right now. I'm like, dude, what? I'm like, let's see if we got a spare, if the spare can work. And he's like, no, we need to go. We need to go now. I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of weird. I've never seen him act like this before. So we drop the trailer just real quick there on the side of the interstate. You know, go a couple exits down, pull off the road, and call the guy that I'm supposed to be meeting up with to buy this four-wheeler from. And so I get a hold of him. He's like, I'll keep coming. I'm going to meet you at this place where I said I was going to meet you at. You know, I might have something that could help you out, or, you know, just meet me where you're supposed to meet me. I'm like, all right. So we keep going. We left the trailer on the side of the highway. We keep going down the interstate, find the exit we're supposed to get off on. Go down the exit. Oh, it was like a windy, twisty road. A bunch of woods, rivers, creeks. And like a half hour later, we get down to this town where we're supposed to meet this guy. You know, I get a hold of him, call him. He's like, yeah, I'm sitting right here. We go up and meet him. I was like, this wasn't even like a town. It was like maybe they had a post office. Didn't even have a Casey's. Might have had a gas station. It's like, well, I don't live in this town. You're going to have to follow me down this road to my house, and that's where the quad's at, and, you know, we'll get it then. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, at this point, let me just bring up, I'm ex-military. I was an Army infantry sniper scout for like 7 years of my life. So I've had some training, and I'm all of a sudden, I'm starting to pick up some bad vibes, you know, because we start following this guy down this dirt road, and we're like, I'm like, oh man, we don't even know what we're walking into. I've got like all this cash on me to buy this four-wheeler off this guy. I'm like, now this just, everything just started to seem totally weird, like really, really bad feeling. And I started to ask my buddy, I'm like, oh, we don't even have like any defensive weapons on us, you know, like, I had like some camping axes, knives, machetes and stuff like that back up in the trailer, but we didn't bring any of that stuff with us. The only thing we had with us was my one-year-old German Shepherd female, who was just along for the ride, just having fun, not even knowing what's going on. She's just like, whatever. So anyway, we start following this guy and just further and further and further down this dirt road. There's like the bad feeling is just getting worse. And worse and worse. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, something like totally bad is going to happen to us. I'm already apologizing to my friend. I'm like, I'm sorry for bringing you down here, man. He's like, it's all good. It's all good. So at one point, while we're following this guy down this dirt road, we lose track of him. And we come around a corner and there's nothing but fog. And we're like, well, this mist kind of came up suddenly. I mean, we're close to the Mississippi River, down in that Illinois swamp valley of the big belly of Illinois. So, you know, the mist and the fog like that can't happen. But it was just surprising that we lost the guy, and then there's just this fog and this mist. And then all of a sudden, walking across the road was a herd of female deer. And they were just like kind of slowly walking, but each one of the deer was like turning to look at us as they were walking across the road. And I actually said to my buddy, I'm like, it's like they're checking us out, man. He's like, I know. Well, the reason I mentioned my dog being with us in the back seat, she would bark at a paper bag blowing across the road. I mean, she would freak out. One of these deer came right up to the window and like stared her right in the face. And my dog just looked that deer right in the eye and was like, huh, cool. I'm like, well, that's weird because she barks at anything. Well, all right, well, all the deer pass by. We keep going down the road. We see the guy's lights up ahead. So we're like, all right, at least we caught up with where we're supposed to be. Keep following this guy, and, you know, and we can finally get to his property about another 10 minutes after that. And I told my buddy, I'm like, hey, man, I still got this bad feeling about this. I go, but let's see what happens. We're already here. We don't have any weapons. I go, the only weapon we have is this vehicle. If, like, a bunch of people come out and try to rob us or stab us and kill us, just start driving this truck around, roll the windows down, I'll jump on top. You know, I'm like, that's the best we can do. Other than that, we're just sitting ducks, you know. But it didn't even end up being anything like that. We get to the guy's house. He shows me the quad that we're going to buy. He like, hey, your trailer's broke down. I got like some trailers like it. He helped us find a wheel and a tire that would fit on my trailer. He's like, I'll follow you guys back up, you know, fix your trailer and you guys can be on your way. I'm like, all right, cool. He's like, all right, give me the money and then we'll go. And I'm like, oh, wait, I kind of want to hold the money until... He's like, oh, well, just ride with me. So I got in the truck with that guy. My buddy was following me behind, my dog and car. We get all the way out of there. We got his quad that I'm going to buy from him, the back of his truck. We're going on out of there. And I'm talking to him just about, like, oh, what it's like to live down here in this area. And he talked about how there are a bunch of woodcutters. They trimmed down a lot of trees. And just, you know, just a lot of, you know, back and forth, you know, general talk. So we get back up on the main interstate. This guy finally find where our trailer was, turn around, come back on the interstate, get everything squared away. You know, he's got his truck behind our trailer. We jack it up. We put his wheel on the trailer. We just gave him my old one. He's like, I'll just get a new tire, whatever, no big deal. Actually, turned out to be a really nice guy. I'm like, oh, man, we were scared for nothing. I was like, that guy ended up being pretty cool. Like, I thought he might have a bunch of hillbilly people waiting up in that place and like rob us and murder us. I'm like, oh my God, I had the worst feeling in the world about it. But dude ended up being pretty cool. So we got our trailer hooked back up. We got a good tire. Gave the guy his money. We got the quad we bought in the back of the trailer. You know, we're on our way back. You know, the whole time my wife, she'd been calling and texting me a few times. She's like, this is taking way too long. Where are you guys at? What are you doing? Tried to kind of tell her a little bit about what had happened. She's like, I don't even believe it. I'm like, well, we're on our way home anyway, so believe it. So we're going. We finally get off the interstate. We get back on our state route. We get, like, right through Peoria, and we're just getting out of Peoria and get back on the state route that's heading straight towards our town. I lean over my buddy. We're kind of, like, talking the whole time. I'm like, man, I still got a bad feeling. You could just have this feeling that the danger wasn't still behind us at this point, that there was still some kind of danger ahead of us or something, you know? You just get that feeling. So as soon as we're out of Peoria and our state route's turning back into a state route from interstate and all that stuff, I look up out of the window and I'm like the embankment up top to my upper left. You could see it. It was black. And it was big, man, and it kind of came down the embankment on the left side of like the exit, and it was fast and it was skittery. It went across both lanes of the highway on our side, jumped the median, went across both lanes of the highway on the other side, and up the other embankment on the exit over there, and then disappeared. Now, as I thought to myself, I'm like, after all this, should I tell my buddy, did you see that? Or I didn't even get a chance because the dog in the back seat freaked out. She, like, oh, stuck her head almost, like, broke the window, the Durango in the back seat, looking exactly where this thing ran off to. And I'm like, oh, that's when I turned to my buddy, and I'm like, did you see that? He's like, oh, you mean that big black dog thing that just ran across the road? And I'm like, yeah, that big black dog thing that ran across the road. We both just didn't know what to say to each other. I mean, luckily, it didn't cause us to spin out. But to see it, the only way I can describe what this thing looked like, well, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Frighteners with Michael J. Fox.
Yep.
And the Grim Reaper thing that's in that, the way it moves quick, but stops quick and stops, that looked just like that, that had a fluid motion exactly to it, just like that. But if you put a big wolf, black wolf's head on it, there, it didn't have eyes, it didn't have red eyes, nothing like that. It was just had like a wolf's head on it that moved like it was just a wolf's head sticking out of the shadowy cape. And you could almost tell that it had legs just because of the way it was covering its brown, but you couldn't really see the legs. It came just right across, and it moved. I've seen deer move across highways like that and fast like that, but it was so fast, and, but almost slow. It was like fast, but it was on purpose. This is the only way I can describe it. So after I said to my buddy that he saw it, I saw it, we both know the dog saw it because she's freaking out in the back seat. We get just a little bit ways up the road, and, you know, there's a little bit of a gas station. It was closed at this point. This is like at 3 o'clock in the morning by the time we finally got on our way back. And we got out like, hey, let's just pull over here. I gotta go to the bathroom. You go to the bathroom. You know, we just... So me and my buddy both, we get out. And we, you know, we're standing on the side of the truck and the trailer, and we're gonna, you know, go to the bathroom, and see this deer, a buck, a male, just come out between these two houses that were in the subdivision by the gas station, and the thing walked like right towards us, and him and I are looking at each other like, oh no, man, this thing's gonna kill us or something too, and it stopped, and it just kind of looked at us, and it snorted. Almost like it bowed, you know, as we're finishing up, it just kind of snorted at us and, you know, turned and walked its way, you know, kind of like giving us a message like, you're safe, like, you guys get out of here, be on your way now, you know, and then we drove the rest of the way home, and that was the last that we had seen about it. But I mean, the more times reflecting back on everything, you start to think so many different things. You're like, oh, we're in the wrong place at the wrong time. What's with these deer? And what was definitely with that black dog that I thought of, like, and we both, you know, we're like, yeah, he's heard about the black dog that wipes out truckers. And, like, we've both just seen the black dog. And we're like, well, what's up with the deer? Like, our general thesis is we were just kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time. And for some reason, these deer just kind of helped us get where we needed to be without, you know, the black dog getting us, without these other people getting us. Oh, it was quite an experience. So that's my story, the encounter with the black dog.
And how long ago was that?
It was about 2.5 years ago.
Okay, so not that long ago then. Have you told?
No, not that long ago.
Have you guys told your other trucker buddies about it, and what was their response if you did?
No, the only people that we've talked about it is I told my wife when I got home, and, you know, she's a typical wife. She's like, oh, sure, you guys did. But every time him and I sit down and we talk about it, we just have such the recollection. He's like, I wouldn't have believed it if I wouldn't have seen it either. And, you know, he's seen that old Patrick Swayze movie, The Black Dog, and, you know, ever since then, he's like, well, we both looked at different stuff on the internet about black dog legends. But it's mostly, like I said, the truck driver legend that, you know, sleepy truck drivers will see a black dog that wipes you out. But actually having physically seen that with my own eyes, that the actual black dog that runs across the highway like that, it's like, oh, wow. I mean, these truckers aren't tired. It's like, seen something, you know, and I'm not the type of person that's seen stuff. Like I said, I've been in the military for like 7 years, and the craziest thing I ever saw was out at in Fort Irwin way back in the early 90s when they were doing test runs on the Aurora jet, you know, and we saw like jets like flying across the sky, leaving rainbow trails, and like, whoa, what is that? But I've never seen anything paranormal or extra psychic or anything like that, but that thing that ran across it, there was such a premonition about the whole night, too. It's like you could just feel like where there was danger just all around. And we don't know if, like, the black dog was hunting us the whole night long, and these deer were just trying to keep us safe, or we were just having a weird and crazy night and just for some reason ended up having to see the black dog at that spot. I don't know. I can't even say, but the whole night long it was just so eerie, and you could just feel that there was just just something everywhere that whole night.
Sounds crazy. Well, first of all, Jeff, thank you for your service.
I want to tell you, Jerry, thank you. And thank you very much for all your recognition in the military service and kind of suicide prevention. You and Tracy both, you guys do an amazing job with the veterans and the suicide prevention. Tip of the hat for sure.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on and sharing your story. It was definitely a crazy night.
Oh, definitely was. Not a problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. No problem. I'll be talking to you soon, Jeff.
Yep. Thanks, Jerry.
All right, so that's Jeff's story. So what was the scariest part of that story? Was it the fact of the animals going crazy?
No.
The black dog, or what do you think was the scariest part?
The scariest part to me was him driving back at Yankee-ass road in the pitch dark, not knowing this person and not knowing what they were going to be driving into. There is no way. I don't think I could have done that. Maybe daytime, maybe. But not night. No way.
You remember that time when we had to go like 2 hours away? I can't even remember where it was now. To go, I think it was up in Indiana, to go serve that summons.
Yes.
And the people blocked us in and wouldn't let us leave. And
that was so scary. That was in the daytime, though.
Yeah, it was in the daytime.
And it was scary. Yeah, we got blocked in. He wouldn't let us leave. The cops came. It was like the whole thing. But I will say that Jeff's story was a little bit more scarier than that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It was definitely scarier.
And, I mean, I'm glad he had somebody with him, right? Somebody was with him, right? So, Rick. Yeah. If I'd been by myself, I couldn't do it. There's no way. And, you know, you hate to say that. You hate to say that because you just can't trust people these days and everything. But, no thanks. No thanks. I mean, it's just like our friend that went and bought that grill. Alexis and them, they went and bought this grill, and it was in a sketchy neighborhood, and she gave me the address and everything. She's like, if I don't come back, if we don't come back, this is where we went. And you hate to be that way these days, but you know what I'm saying? It's just so scary. You just never know. But yeah, that I think that would have been the scariest part for me. I mean, seeing the animal, that dog, too, I mean, that would have been pretty freaky. Yeah, but I'm glad they made it fine, so.
Well, we want to thank everybody who shared their story.
Yes, you guys, that's so nice.
And Christy and Jeff for coming on and telling their stories.
Yeah, yeah, thank you guys so much. We appreciate that.
Just remember, if you're listening, we do this the first of every month. So if you've got a story that you want read, send it to us.
Oh, please do.
And you know, if you've got one, if you'd like to actually come on and tell your story, like... these two did. Send us a message and say, hey, I'd love to come on, and we'll set it up.
Heck yeah. I think it's fun.
Yeah. So, we do this the first of every month. So, thank you guys for everything you do for us. Thanks for your support. We're getting ready to head to Houston here shortly, and we're able to do those things because of you guys.
Yeah, and we appreciate it, and it gives us a chance to meet you all, and man, what a blessing. We're excited.
Yeah. Thank you so much, and we will be talking to you soon.